This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And welcome to the primetime version of Talk Louisiana. And our guest is former Louisiana Senator Elbert Lee Guillory. He's been practicing law since 1971, makes his home in the lovely hamlet of Opelousas. And he is here to talk about what's going on with the President of the United States facing impeachment for only the third time in American history, Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump. And Richard Nixon would have been impeached, but he resigned his office before the vote came in the U.S. House, which was a foregone conclusion. Elbert Lee Guillory, let's start with a little historical context. You were practicing law when Richard Nixon was impeached, and if I remember right, you were a supporter of his.
Actually, I was working. I was a Democrat. I was working in his administration in Washington, D.C. when he was impeached.
Did you think the removal from office by Nixon was appropriate?
Yes. I do believe the Watergate issues were clear and decisive. He was part of the conspiracy, and it was appropriate that he resign.
And then 24 years later, William Jefferson Clinton was impeached. And this time, the president survived an attempt to remove him from office. Neither article of the two that were passed, of the four that were considered, received a majority in the Senate, where 67 votes are needed to convict a president on articles of impeachment. What about Clinton? Was that an appropriate endeavor?
I thought that was appropriate also. It was absolutely clear that he had lied under oath, lied to the American people about the fact that he had an affair in the Oval Office. That was simply appropriate that he leave.
Because of the affair or because he allegedly lied about it?
Because he lied about it. He said, "I did not have sex with that woman."
Sexual relations. Now, the way sexual relations is defined, maybe he was telling the truth.
I think that in the public arena, he was convicted.
But that would not be perjury. That was before television cameras. But he did say under oath, "There's no relationship. There is no relationship," which brought into question the meaning of "is," and at the time there was no relationship. So did he really commit perjury?
I thought that he did, and apparently the Arkansas bar thought that he did because he lost his license.
He lost his license, and his insurance company paid Miss Jones $850,000. That is correct. But we have a president today who paid $130,000 to a porn star to keep her quiet in the 2016 election and did not report it on his campaign expenditures. He could have been impeached for that. Why do you think the Democrats went down this road instead of perhaps going down others that might have been more productive?
I think it was bad advice and bad lawyering. I think that President Trump has done some things that would have been more impeachable than these very weak articles that are before the Congress today.
And why do you think they're weak, Senator Guillory?
Well, if you look at public opinion, if you look at the polls, America is very much divided, almost 50-50. As to the validity of these articles of impeachment, despite the fact that they paraded lawyers and law professors and a lot of administrators before the TV cameras and before the Congress, these articles of impeachment simply have not caught the attention of and the ire of the American people. Trump haters remain focused on what they're doing and the rest of America. And it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. The rest of the people simply have not been convinced
Clinton was impeached, his popularity went to an all-time high. It went to, I think, about 70%. This president has never been at 50%. So I don't know that popularity is a reason to impeach or not. You sound like you believe it is.
I'm not speaking of popularity, but of the jury of America. The jury has not been convinced. If all of America is sitting as a jury, and in fact, that is really what ultimately will be the case, because I think that Trump will be reelected in 2020. I think that he's going to use this impeachment, saying that he is a victim. He's been victimized by some very bad people. And I think that that will carry the day in 2020.
Well, President Trump yesterday angrily denounced the looming House vote to impeach him as a star chamber of partisan prosecution by Democrats, describing the efforts to remove him from office as an attempted coup that would come back to haunt him at the ballot box next year. As Democrats reached a critical threshold, gathering majority support to impeach the president on the eve of this historic vote, to charge him with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, the president raged against the proceeding, having stonewalled the inquiry at every turn. This is the New York Times reporting. Mr. Trump used an irate and rambling six-page letter to Speaker Nancy Pelosi to try to make his case, portraying himself as the victim of hostile enemies determined to destroy his presidency with false accusations. A quote from the president, "This is nothing more than an illegal, partisan, attempted coup that will, based on recent sentiment, badly fail at the voting booth." And you believe the president will be reelected. Now, we know last time he received just 46% of the votes, 46.1 to be precise, 2.1 points fewer than his opponent, Hillary Clinton, and the president won in the Electoral College. Are you anticipating another repeat of him losing the vote and winning in the Electoral College?
I think that he will win the popular vote by a very, very small percentage. And I think that these proceedings will have inflamed enough people, will have turned off enough Americans so that his popular vote will probably, I would estimate, to be somewhere around 52%.
50.
Not a resounding.
I would wager that he will not receive 52%. That would be 6 points more than he got in 2016, and he's never been above 50% in any reputable poll as far as his overall support. Now, of course, it comes down to a large degree of who his opponent will be, and right now the Democrats, they have some problems on that front, finding a popular opponent. But he is so vulnerable, Elbert Gillery, that is it possible that he might lose the election to a warm body, anybody who's nominated to run against him from the Democratic side of the political spectrum?
Right now, Trump leads all Democrat opponents in the poll. The 12-17 Washington Post ABC polls show, that was the USA Today poll on 12-16. All Democrat opponents, he leads all of them right now. And facing absolute certain impeachment, facing absolute certain non-removal, non-conviction by the Senate, every opponent that the Democrats have, he leads. It's amazing.
The president right now in the Real Clear Politics is at 44.5%, which is higher than he has been in a while. This is the conflation of all the polls, and 51.9% against him, a 7.4% spread. The one that he is best is the Rasmussen poll at 49% for, 49% against, and then there are other polls that show him underwater by a pretty good margin, but he has been gaining some strength in the last few days, according to these polls. And Elbert Gillery, I gather you're saying that It's because the American people may be thinking that his opponents are piling on. Am I characterizing it right?
Yes, they have not come forward with a good, strong case, a believable case that has convinced the American people that some wrongdoing, serious wrongdoing, has taken place.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. And we will return and go to the phone lines with David in Atlanta, who's waiting to talk with Senator Elbert Lee Guillory on an historic day. It's 21 years ago tomorrow that Bill Clinton was impeached, and now history is repeating, kind of. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, produced today by Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries. And House Democrats assert that President Trump abused his power by pressuring Ukraine to help him in the 2020 presidential election, releasing an impeachment report that finds that the president placed his own personal and public interests above the interests of the United States. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Senator Elbert Guillory. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Guillory, if President Trump is so innocent, why won't he allow his close associates, the Secretary of State, his acting director of chief of staff, and other top White House officials to testify? And just like he sold the phony bill of goods with Trump University, he won't release the entire transcript. If he's so innocent, release the entire transcript. It's full of blanks and ellipses. So evidently there's a clear cover-up, and President Clinton went on television the night before he was impeached and profoundly apologized for his misdeeds. Like Sarah Palin would say, Trump needs to man up.
Your response? Don't go away, David. Your response, Senator Guillory?
Well, the question was asked of me is, why did Trump not let his close associates come and testify? I don't know, but I suspect it's because he does not believe that the House, the Democrats in the House of Representatives, have presented a good case against him, and so he has chosen not to participate in it. And the polls show that his approach has been a wise one, because people believe, the American people, more than half, believe that this impeachment is based on anger, hostility, and hatred, and not on facts. Even the president of Ukraine said that he did not feel pressured. The transcript of the conversation does not back up these articles of impeachment. So,
David, in Atlanta, you do believe the articles are legitimate, that this is a prudent way to go?
It's beyond legitimate. This president is essentially turning this government into a dictatorship, an autocratic president. What it's going to say for future presidents when they do illegal misdeeds and then thumb their nose at the authority, the constitutional given authority of the Congress of the United States. We will have an authoritarian government and a dictatorship in the White House. This is an insult to every man and woman who ever defended this country in a uniform, and to our founding fathers.
Senator?
It's a sad, sad day in America. We are divided. We are deeply divided. If something bad happens to America right now, I don't know that Americans could come together and pull together and get us out of whatever kind of jam we would be in. There, we have people like our telephone caller, who is obviously filled with anger and angst, and I certainly understand his position. There are more Americans on the other side of it who they are also filled with anger and angst about what's happening, but the abuse of power of Congress, the sham, the charade attempt to impeach this president improperly.
Well, why is this different from Bill Clinton's impeachment?
from a legal perspective, and I speak with 48 years of courtroom experience. The Clinton impeachment was based on clear facts, easily understood. The people of America understood what was taking place, and that's why he came forward and apologized. In this case, there's no smoking gun. There's not a clear, easily understood, easily digested charge against President Trump.
He did ask a foreign power to interfere with an election by virtue of going after a political foe. Some would say that's rather clear.
Well, as we go back over hundreds of years of politics, nations poke into other nations' politics all of the time. I mean, that's common.
All right.
But the president of Ukraine says that he was not asked, not pressured to participate.
Well, of course he's going to say that because he's got to make peace with the president to get his money, and ultimately he got it after all this became public. Now, David, in Atlanta, how do you see it?
Jim, I'm sorry, I could not hear Mr. Guillory.
Well, what do you think as far as whether or not this is more valid or less valid than the Clinton impeachment?
What President Clinton did, and I'm not going to discuss it on radio, it didn't take any bread off anybody's table. What the President of the United States, Donald Trump, has done was literally commit treason to use the office of the presidency for political gain. It was an act of extortion and bribery, and certainly that fits the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors. And the president won't even allow future conversations with foreign leaders to be overheard by members of the National Security Council and other members. Now, what happens if those foreign leaders record those phone calls and they could literally use the president's own words as blackmailing the president of the United States?
Well, Senator,
it shows you how Trump can't operate unless he's doing something sleazy.
All right. Well, Senator Guillory, the president did not want any of his people to testify. Some would say that's obstruction of justice. Why would he not allow them to testify before Congress?
His lawyers made a decision, made a recommendation to him. He accepted their recommendations that they would simply not participate in this charade, this sham.
Now, he also has taken exception to Nancy Pelosi praying for him, saying he really doesn't believe it. She has said more than once that she is praying for our president, and she is a devout lady, as I'm sure you are, and I'm sure David in Atlanta is. I'd like for each of you, and we'll keep David here for a moment, to comment on whether prayer is a good thing when you're praying for an adversary. What do you think, Senator Guillory?
70 years as a Roman Catholic.
Representative Pelosi.
Yes. I am not convinced that she's praying for the president, but it is not for me to be convinced about. It doesn't matter. What we have to deal with are the cold, hard facts of what is taking place on the floor of the House today, and that is Trump will be impeached, and he will be impeached on articles that are so thin and so unconvincing that at least half of Americans will believe that this is a witch hunt. And I believe that those Americans who believe that this is a witch hunt will be energized, will come out and vote in 2020, and that the president will not only be reelected, but reelected by a larger margin than he was elected by in the past.
David in Atlanta, are you praying for our president?
Absolutely. And I think it's despicable, President Trump, to distort and deflect his high crimes and misdemeanors where there's overwhelming evidence of such and make an issue out of Nancy Pelosi's false teeth, which I don't even know if she actually has. He can't address the issue, so he has to go into this personal attack mode to demean other people with frivolous, unfounded allegations.
Well, at 79, I think she's in better shape than President Trump is at 73, and Senator Guillory at 75. I know you're in better shape than our president is at 73. Could all this fast food and some of the bad habits he have, could they be catching up to him? What do you think? Is our president perhaps not handling stress well because of a poor diet, lack of exercise, and a rather slothful approach to life? Is that part of the process here, Senator Guillory, who is in tip-top shape?
I must say that Mr. Trump, I think, is in good. His doctors say that he's in good shape. He certainly is not presidential.
We've got a roll, but let's hold on. We're going to be back with Senator Guillory. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. A few more minutes with Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, former senator and current director of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP. Now, I mentioned Senator Guillory, who's in his 70s, is in exceptional physical condition, former kickboxer. His avocation is mountain climbing. He's reached the summit of Mount Rainier in Washington and also has been to a peak in Alaska. So he has managed to stay in great shape, and this is done through hard work. And we've commented that our president has not followed the example of Senator Elbert Lee Guillory. You said he's not presidential. What did you mean by that?
His words are not statesmanlike. His approach to communication is not traditionally political. He says what's on his mind. He speaks straight from the shoulder, from the hip, one might say. Just very, very unpresidential. And that's part of his lifestyle. His eating habits are consistent with that shooting from the hip style.
Yeah. Well, none of us, as far as I know, likes to be rejected, and the impeachment is obviously the ultimate rejection, just short of conviction, and he will not be convicted in the Senate. Let's face that too. But and he's going to have Republicans in accord with him staying in office, and that includes the Louisiana delegation. Garrett Graves certainly is on the Trump train, as is Ralph Abraham and Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson. They're all in the Trump corner, and in the Senate it'll be John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy supporting him as well. But you, Senator Guillory, have faced rejection of sorts, and we've talked about it on the show. You were kicked out of Southern University.
That had
to be quite a blow at the time.
At the time, it did not feel good. But it happened as it happened. It was one of the most wonderful things that happened to me. Because of that, I was able to get out of Louisiana, get an Ivy League education, see the world. It was an excellent thing that happened. Didn't feel good at that time. I think that this is what the president is doing also right now. She probably doesn't feel good, but he intends to use this moment to his advantage at the ballot box in 2020. We'll see what happens.
Well, you also served in the military, in the United States Navy. Did you go to Vietnam?
I did not. I served during the Vietnam era. I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, and very unusual for the Navy to keep someone in one place 4 years.
Well, you served, and of course you could have been shipped elsewhere. The president, as we know, got a doctor to say he had bone spurs, and that enabled him to get 6 draft deferments. Now, does that matter? With him being commander-in-chief and having the authority to lead Americans, young men and women, off to war, and when he did not fight when it was his turn?
That is one of the things that I have not loved about this president. There were many, including many politicians, including Bill Clinton, who ducked and ran. I was 4F, but when my nation called, I tore up my 4F draft card because I was never going to be drafted, and I volunteered.
And for those unfamiliar, Senator, what is 4F? What did it mean at the time?
It meant that I was not acceptable for military service. I had been an asthmatic, and I would never be drafted, so I didn't have to run off to Canada or to find bone spurs or any other kind of illness that might have prevented me from going. I was legitimately 4F, so I tore that up and volunteered and did my service.
Well, a listener is asking about the Southern University episode, and that occurred before Albert Lee Guillory went in the Navy. If I remember right, 1961 or so, you enrolled at Southern in Baton Rouge, and you were editor of the Digest, the Southern University newspaper, and wrote an editorial referring to U.S. Senator Allen Ellender, Democrat from Houma, as a lunatic. Is that correct?
Sir, that is absolutely correct. That was one of the last nails in my coffin, but I had been warned repeatedly to stop writing illegal things like, America, if I fight your wars and pay your taxes, you're not going to force me to walk to the back door of the courthouse. That was illegal. So,
well, now we've go ahead, I'm sorry.
I knew that I was going to have to pay a penalty, and I did.
Now, two of the last four presidents have been impeached, and Clinton and Trump, and some would say there is a dangerous precedent here. And in 1929, 90 years ago, the Louisiana governor, Huey Pierce Long, was impeached, and the Senate saved him with 15 out of 39 senators voting not to impeach under any circumstances. And so the Long machine kept on going for another 6 years before Huey was assassinated. But a listener notes that under the current configuration in Louisiana, John Bel Edwards could be impeached, convicted, and thrown out of office with no Democrat voting to impeach, because the Republicans have a majority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate. So is our governor, John Bel Edwards, in danger of being thrown out of office if Republicans gang up against him, Albert Lee Guillory?
Absolutely not. Fortunately, Louisianans, the clear-headed, solid citizens of Louisiana, have not been infected by this division that has infected Washington, D.C. It's just so unfortunate what's happening over there. But it won't happen here in Louisiana, not at any time.
Now, another listener notes that you were a Democrat before you were a Republican, and a Republican before you were a Democrat. So you have switched a few times. Why did you do this?
I was a political professional. I served on the cabinets of several governors and major city mayors. And so I had to, in order to serve, and what I did was enforce civil rights laws for those states. I directed them, managed them. And in order to do that, sometime I had to be a member of the same party as my boss. So, yes, I've gone back and forth a few times.
Would you consider switching again?
No, I would not. The Democrat Party, and when I left the Democrat Party when I was in the Louisiana Senate, I left because I just could not abide the policies of the Democrat Party. And that was a few years ago. Now they've moved even farther. I mean, this socialist idiocy is too much for me. I can't be a part of it.
I think it's the Democratic Party. Michael Bloomberg, he's a guy who has more money than President Trump. It's going to be hard to portray him as a socialist. I don't know if he can get the nomination, but there are Democrats who've done very well in the capitalistic system.
Absolutely. And the Bloomberg factor is going to be quite interesting. We'll see what happens. when he and Trump cross swords. This will be interesting.
Well, Bloomberg has already, according to the New York Times in today's edition, spent a huge amount, over $90 million on advertising to move the needle, and we will see if it happens. Do you view him as a more formidable candidate than, say, Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren?
I think of all of the candidates right now, Bloomberg is the most substantial candidate that the Democrats have.
Well, Senator, you must be pleased that Trump, of course, is 73. Bloomberg will be 78 in February. Sanders is even older. Biden is almost as old, and Warren is above 70. So it's a new day for septuagenarians. It seems to be that is when people reach their peak in American politics now.
Yes, unfortunately, I haven't peaked yet. But
you could still run again.
Oh, yes. I have a couple more runs available to me, so we'll see what happens. But I enjoy the game of politics very much at this stage. I'm glad to see that some older, steadier hands are on the wheel of government.
Mm-hmm. A listener also notes that in Sunday's Advocate, in a profile by Tyler Bridges, who spent 4.5 hours with Eddie Rasponi a few weeks ago. Eddie Rasponi said he weighed 145 pounds, so he is in good shape. And Louisiana, as you say, sometimes we're ahead of the curve. We can be proud that we had two guys running for governor of Louisiana who were in outstanding physical condition, in Eddie Rasponi and Governor John Bel Edwards.
that was an interesting battle. The Rasponi-Edwards battle. We'll see what happens 4 years from now. With Governor Edwards being term limited, it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Well, Elbert Gillery, you're predicting the president will benefit from impeachment. That's your prediction.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right. Well, we'll let you go, and we'll keep you to your prediction and be talking about it, I'm sure, sometime very soon. Always great to get your insights, Senator Elbert Lee Gillery, the pride of Opelousas.
Enjoy talking with you as always.
Happy holidays, and we'll return with a comparison between 1998 and 2019. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And one of our favorite guests through the years on this program was Vincent Bugliosi, the fabled prosecutor from Los Angeles who put Charlie Manson in jail for the rest of his life. Vincent Bugliosi was a prolific writer, wrote several best-selling books, but one he did not reach the top of the booksellers list was a book called The Trial of George W. Bush for Murder. He wanted to try the 43rd president for murder, saying that he had sent Americans off to war in Iraq under false pretenses. And the president did do that, but ultimately he was never tried in a court, and there was never an impeachment effort. So Congress sometimes decides to go that route and other times does not, even when there is a case that can be made to do so. But two of the last four American presidents have now been impeached, and President Bill Clinton, President Donald Trump, both born in 1946, both baby boomers, and as Elbert Gillery just pointed out, both draft dodgers, as was George Bush, by the way, who never reported to his guard unit in Alabama and had a position with the Texas National Guard in which it was assured that he would not be exposed to combat. So even though his daddy was a war hero, George W. Bush was anything but. He, if you really want to put a moniker on it, along with Trump and Clinton, you could make a case that they were cowards, and yet they were commanders-in-chief who led American men and women to war and fought in places where presumably Trump and Clinton and Bush would never have gone themselves. So that is an unfortunate reality in American life. The only president or vice president from the baby boomer generation that was exposed to Vietnam, who actually served in Vietnam, was Albert Gore. He went. John Kerry went, and John McCain went, and they both ran for president, and they both lost. Kerry lost to a draft dodger in George Bush, and McCain lost to Barack Obama, who was born in 1961. He was a baby boomer, but he was not exposed to Vietnam. The war ended when he was 14 years old. President Clinton, who oversaw a robust economy that saw a 229 percentage point gain in the Dow Jones Industrial Average during his 8 years, and he balanced the budget with a surplus. We're now headed for record territory as far as a deficit. He had an amazing record with the economy, and no American died in a combat zone during his 8 years in office. There was peace and prosperity in the Clinton years, but he was impeached. And it happened 21 years ago tomorrow, on December 19th, 1998. The impeachment was initiated on October 8th when the U.S. House voted to commence proceedings against Clinton for high crimes and misdemeanors. The specific charges against him were lying under oath, obstruction of justice. The charges stemmed from a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Bill Clinton by Paula Jones from an incident at the Excelsior Hotel in 1991 in downtown Little Rock. Clinton's testimony denying that he had engaged in a sexual relationship with White House intern Monica Lewinsky. The catalyst was the Starr Report, a September 1998 report prepared by independent counsel Ken Starr for the House Judiciary Committee. Clinton became the second president to be impeached. The first was Andrew Johnson in 1868. So it took 130 years for one impeachment to happen to the next of a U.S. president, and now it has taken 21 years for a third United States president to be impeached. A trial in the Senate began in January of 99. Chief Justice William Rehnquist was presiding. On February 12th, Clinton was acquitted on both counts, as neither received the necessary two-thirds majority of the senators present for conviction and removal from office. 45 senators voted to convict on one count, and 50 senators voted to convict on another. There were originally four articles of impeachment brought against the President of the United States. This time there were only two, and many Republicans voted against two of the articles, so they were not advanced. But two articles did go to the United States Senate, and five Democrats in the House, Virgil Good, Ralph Hall, Paul McHale, Charles Stenholm, and Gene Taylor, voted for three of the four articles. Other than that, the Democrats remained solid. The votes in the House to impeach the president on obstruction of justice, the vote was 221 to 212, and on perjury, 228 to 206. And of course, there are many who are saying that perjury is a legal matter and that President Clinton clearly, according to his detractors, committed perjury, so he deserved to be impeached and should have been removed from office. And then there are others who say, look, he lied about sex, and people lie about sex in depositions all the time. How many times in divorce cases do people have questions about their personal lives in which they lie and are never charged with perjury? And President Trump knows fully well what that's like, because when he was divorced from Ivana, his first wife, he took the Fifth 97 times rather than answer questions about whether he had committed adultery and other matters that were personal in that relationship. Now, maybe Clinton should have taken the Fifth as well. He denied on January 17th publicly, after a sworn deposition, that he had a sexual relationship, sexual affair, or sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky, and even that he was ever alone with her. So obviously that was not true. His lawyer, Robert Bennett, stated with Clinton present that Lewinsky's affidavit showed there was no sex in any manner, shape, or form between Clinton and Lewinsky. Now, Lewinsky originally denied a relationship with the president, just as Stormy Daniels originally denied a relationship with Donald John Trump, the porn star from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She was paid $130,000 to make that denial, and has since said that she did have sexual relations with the President of the United States shortly after his last child, Barron, was born and at home with Ivanka Trump, who is now the First Lady of the United States. As mentioned, the Democrats could have gone down several roads of impeachment, but instead chose the one that is in play now that involves the president conspiring with a foreign power to injure a political adversary, Joe Biden in this case, and withhold assistance from the United States until that help was provided. For the past 2 months, the New York Times reported today, the television ads across Virginia have sounded a lot like the president's Twitter feed. A rigged process, a sham impeachment, no quid pro quo. But Pelosi's witch hunt continues. An ad from the Republican nonprofit group America First, American First Policies, cried. Images of Abigail Spanberger, who represents the region in Congress, flickered on screen. Like many of her fellow freshman Democratic colleagues, Spanberger has faced a barrage of attack ads from the Republican National Committee, nonprofit groups, and super PACs aligned with the president. And during the 2 months that the impeachment inquiry has been underway, President Trump and his Republican allies have flooded the airwaves, spending more than $16.7 million on ads critical of the impeachment effort. A vast majority of those ads attack House Democrats rather than defend the president, according to advertising analytics and ad tracking firm. Democratic groups are not fighting back directly and are choosing instead to focus mainly on other issues like health care. They are spending $5.4 million on television ads specific to impeachment. Instead, the most prominent democratically funded message on television at this moment is Mike Bloomberg for president. I mentioned in the last segment that the candidate had spent over $90 million. That number has risen to $109 million that the former New York mayor has spent primarily on biographical TV ads across the country, and it will be fascinating to see if Michael Bloomberg, who has more money than almost any person in the United States, over $50 billion, ends up becoming a viable presidential aspirant. He is a former Republican. He was a Republican mayor of New York City. Elizabeth Warren, former Republican. She was a member of the GOP until she was 47 years old. Bernie Sanders really is not a Democrat. He is a socialist who votes with the Democratic Party. So when you get right down to it, the only Democrats, true Democrats, as far as long-standing ones who are running for president and in contention at this point for the nomination, serious contention, are Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg. And what a contrast we have there. Buttigieg is 37 years old. Biden is 77 years old. And Biden, like Trump, like Clinton, and like George Bush, was a draft dodger, another guy who was a Vietnam age, who chose not to fight when it was his turn, who wants to be commander-in-chief. Buttigieg, as we know, did fight in a war, and at 37 speaks seven languages and is a Rhodes Scholar and has an amazing resume, but he is considered to be possibly unelectable because he is married to a man. That's the way it is in America right now, and we may very well find out whether or not a gay man can become president of the United States, because Buttigieg is leading in Iowa, and if he wins the Iowa caucuses, we'll have momentum. But Elbert Guillory was correct, despite the impeachment efforts against the president that have been successful in the House. The polls from USA Today earlier this week show him at this point defeating any of the top Democratic candidates. It will be fascinating to watch, and we will follow it with you. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.